MDN-TV, the podcast. Be abreast with now. Never miss a thing with MDN-TV, the podcast. We love to keep you in the present with diverse goodies from secular and non-secular subjects of global interest. Join us. Grab more from these series. Listen to our podcast. The undeniable choice.
It's sundown. The day has just begun. Good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. Yes, ha ha. This is MDN Shows Running with the Times, only on MDN TV, the podcast. And I am Major Daughter. Welcome, welcome, welcome to all our listeners and viewers around the world. Meet us in the comments. We are live there. Share your questions, comment, engage, tell everyone that is happening. It's now. You've got to tell your friends to tell their friends that you don't want them to miss this one. We are talking all things yoga therapy. Yes, today we're going to take some time to learn how and why we should apply yoga therapy to deal and treat trauma-related issues and the likes, right? Well, my guest is going to help us do just that right after this.
MDN-TV, the podcast. Be abreast with now. Never miss a thing with MDN-TV, the podcast. We love to keep you in the present with diverse goodies from secular and non-secular subjects of global interest. Join us. Grab more from these series. Listen to our podcast, The Undeniable
Choice. The Undeniable Choice, indeed, for today is Anisa Hudak, a therapist. I mean, Anisa, thanks a gazillion times for saying yes and for availing yourself and for the contribution you are making to humankind. Please take this opportunity to tell our viewers who is our viewers and listeners who is Anisa Hudak and what do you do? Anisa, the mic sings to you now.
Well, thank you for that warm welcome. I'm excited to be here. So my name is Anisa Hudak. I am a yoga therapist. I am specifically trained to work with folks who have PTSD and other trauma-related issues, as well as TBIs, traumatic brain injuries.
Wow, interesting. What inspired you to take a journey of yoga therapy, Anisa?
Well, I never had any aspirations of ever teaching yoga. However, I found myself in a yoga teacher training class. I wanted to keep myself safe on my own mat, but I didn't want to go to anybody else's class. So I figured, well, I'll take a teacher training class and, you know, I can then keep myself safe on my own mat. I was about, I don't know, halfway through the class, and I realized that for me, yoga was a gift. And I wasn't going to be teaching yoga. I was just going to be really sharing this beautiful gift with others.
Wow.
And so that kind of started me down becoming a yoga teacher. The school that I went through, they were offering classes for PTSD for military. And I live in a huge military community. I live right outside of Fort Riley, Kansas, here in Manhattan, Kansas.
Yeah.
And my husband was active duty. We lived in a huge, you know, town where we had retired and active duty and lots of deployments happening and all kinds of stuff. And I figured, well, let me take these classes and bring it back and be of service to my community. However, what I realized was that the first person I had to start working on was myself, that my own PTSD had kind of crawled into the nooks and crannies of my life and was holding me back in ways I didn't want. And so it became a journey of self-discovery, self-recovery. And then along the way, I got to work with veterans for many years. I loved it. It was a lot of fun. However, what really filled my well and really spoke to my soul was working with women who were like me, who had experienced some sort of sexual violence and sexual trauma in their lives. and being able to assist them on the mats. And so that's actually what I do. I only work with women who've been sexually traumatized.
Let's start first with this PTSD. What is it and how do people get it? Just in case someone is wondering, what are you now talking about, Anissa?
Okay, well, PTSD actually starts in the body before it manifests as a mental health condition that we see. And so let me ask you, have you ever seen two dogs fight?
Well, maybe yes, maybe no. It's not quite something that you will see every day.
Right. However, when they're walking away from one another after they're done fighting, they shake. That's one of the things that they do. They shake, right?
Yes, yes.
Well, that's really important. Remember that. So people can get PTSD from a multitude of ways. And for everybody, it's really very individual. It can be from war. It can also be from a car accident or a mugging or watching someone die or even clowns. I mean, the list goes on and on. Yes. However, what happens is that we live our lives in what we call the upper echelon brain. And this is where we do math problems and logistics and keeping track of your grocery list. And this is also where your emotional regulation happens. We also have another type of brain, and that's called our what we call our reptilian brain. And this covers like blinking and breathing and telling us to go to the bathroom. You know, things that we don't think about. It just kind of keeps our body humming along. That is where the fight, flight, freeze, and fawn mechanism is, our survival mechanism. So when we're in a traumatic situation, our body goes into that survival mode. It leaves the upper echelon brain and it goes into the reptilian brain. And all it wants to do is keep us alive. That's the whole purpose of that, just keep us alive. Afterwards, we shake. And that is the resetting of our central nervous system, which kicks us back up into the upper echelon brain. And so I'm sure you've seen someone after a traumatic situation, they shake, right?
Yes, yes, yes. I have. You talk about people who have watched somebody die and they experience some kind of like serious trauma. I've experienced that. I've seen people who experience that after watching somebody die. Yes.
Okay. Well, and of course, we as humans, we hate to see other people shake. And so we're always like, you know, oh, come here, let me hold you. Or, you know, an EMT will strap you to a board or all kinds of stuff. Well, that shaking mechanism is so very important because that resets the central nervous system and puts us back into our upper echelon brain. Well, what happens if we don't get to shake? We don't reset the central nervous system and we stay in that reptilian brain.
Wow.
And that's where all of these mental health issues then start coming into play because you have no emotional regulation. It's back up in the upper echelon brain. So it's as easy and as complicated as that. So that is what PTSD is. It's your central nervous system hit a bump and it failed to reset. What we're able to do with the yoga therapy, though, is we're able to actually mimic that shaking mechanism to help people start to reset the central nervous system.
Wow. You trigger it through the yoga.
Yes.
Ooh. That's powerful. Now that you mention it, I remember one incident of seeing dogs really after a fight. I mean, I had to really go back and start doing a recollection from the files I have on my brain. Yeah, one has to wonder why they're shaking, but now it makes sense.
Ooh. Well, and I think the biggest sin of it is that, you know, when you're in school as a child, you However, from experience or from, you know, education, you know that if you break a bone, you're going to go to the hospital, you're going to get an x-ray, you're probably going to get a cast or a brace, and in 6-8 weeks time, your bone is going to be healed. If you get the flu, you know, you rest, you take plenty of fluids, you're going to get better. However, nobody talks about resetting your central nervous system, and yet we all have one. And it's going to need to be reset at some point in your life.
Wow. That is very deep, yet very powerful. How many of us really, and those who are listening, need a reset? And who ever thought that you could actually provoke and trigger that reset, that reset? Who ever thought? Because I think one of the reasons some stay in traumatic situations and live with the trauma, they are afraid to reset. They're afraid of resetting and starting all over again and shaking everything off. What do you say to someone who has been in a very toxic relationship, which has brought about traumatic experiences, and they are stuck in there? They want to get out, but they can't get out. They want to reset, but they can't reset. How do you deal with that, Anissa?
Well, you know, everybody has to deal with their demons. There's no shortcut. There is no silver bullet. There is no magic wand.
Yes.
If it only were that easy. You can't go around it. You can't go over it. You can't go under it. You have to go through it. However, life on the other side is way better. So much better. And so, you know, it's really having to muster the courage to face your demons. And at some point, your body is going to decide for you enough is enough. And you're going to have to do it. So quite frankly, it's your choice. Either you choose to do it or your body is going to make you do it for you.
Let's talk about yoga and yoga therapy. Is there a difference there? And if there is, what is the difference between yoga and yoga therapy? I've heard people talk about yoga and how it has helped them, you know, do a whole lot of things, lose weight. Some helped by yoga also to deal with some feminine issues. Anissa?
Well, if we were to look at yoga as a big pie, and we split it down the middle. On one side, we have fitness-based yoga. And you said, you know, weight loss, building strength. Is there some healing that goes on there? Absolutely. There's stress reduction. I mean, there's so many wonderful things that happen in a fitness-based class. And I mean, you're looking at like Ashtanga and Bikram and co-ed naked hot yoga and, you know, aerial yoga and all kinds of fun stuff. However, on the other side, we have yoga therapy. And that is where we work with a specific group of people to help them meet a goal. And I'm talking about, you know, yoga for cancer, yoga for cardiac rehab, yoga for arthritis, yoga for MS or Parkinson's. I just happen to work with yoga for PTSD. And what we're doing is we're helping folks meet a goal, whether it's, you know, mobility, managing symptoms. For me, it's resetting the central nervous system. And so our classes are geared a little bit differently. They're structured a little bit differently. I have different safety protocols in my class than you would have in a regular fitness-based class. And so for anyone who's like, you know, I'm interested in doing this, I would have to, you know, really say, find someone who meets your needs. You may not be able to go down to your corner yoga studio and get yoga therapy for PTSD. You might get a great fitness-based class. However, if you're going for the sole purpose of resetting your central nervous system, you need somebody who knows how to do that and help you get to that point.
Wow. Oh, do you offer this virtually? We are living in a virtual world. Have you transformed to offer this digitally, Anissa?
Yes, actually, my entire business is online. Being here in Manhattan, Kansas, the cows weren't really into the yoga. I live in a place where the livestock outnumber the people, and the cows just weren't digging the yoga. So I needed to get online. But I really wanted to reach more women. And so I am completely online.
Okay, that's great. Let's talk about the signs behind it. How does it work?
Well, the science behind it. Okay. This is where I get all sciencey and nerdy.
Rearrange that question rather. What is the science behind it and how does it work? Or is there science behind it? I'll tell you why. There seems to be science behind everything.
You're absolutely right. There is no smoke and mirrors here. This is not voodoo. It's not witchcraft. This is all science. I hate to burst people's bubbles, but this is all science. And when I was sitting in my classes and I'm learning this, I was like, you've got to be kidding. This is all science. I came home. I was talking to my husband, who is an organic chemist, and I was explaining this all to him. And he was like, this is biology. This is biology. Yeah. I said, yes, this is biology. It's incredible. So we are actually able to... let me ask you. Have you ever heard of the psoas muscle?
No.
Okay. Well, you have two of them. You might have heard of it by its other name, the hip flexors.
Oh, yes. That I know.
Okay. So I call it the psoas muscle. It is, in my opinion, my humble opinion, the most important two muscles in your body. And because it is the two muscles that if you're either injured or sick and you curl up in the fetal position, it's those two muscles that create that action. Now, if you didn't have those two muscles and you didn't do that action, all of the organs in your trunk would be left vulnerable. I mean, you do that curling up in the fetal position to actually protect the organs in your trunk. And so if it wasn't for that, your heart, your liver, your lungs, everything would be left exposed.
Yes.
Those two muscles are also the emotional warehouse of your body. And it holds all of your frustration, your anger, your grief, your joy, your love. All of your emotion is held there. And so you might hear people say, gosh, my hips are really tight today. And when people say that, I'm like, yeah, what's going on in your life? Because that's where you're holding your emotion. What we're able to do with the yoga therapy in a very scientific method is we warm up the entire body. We then warm up what we call the psoas trail. And then we really get into that psoas muscle. And we work it to exhaustion. We get to that point. It does exactly what we talked about earlier. It starts to shake. That shaking mechanism is what helps to reset the central nervous system.
Wow, that is the shaking.
That's where the shaking comes in. And so if you've ever been to the gym and you had arm day or leg day and, you know, you feel like you're jelly and you're shaking uncontrollably, that's what we're really wanting to get into that psoas muscle to get it to do. It is not an easy task. It is the deepest muscle of your body. And so we have to go at it in a very precise method in order for us to really get in there deep and get it to exhaustion.
Now, I've got two things to really bring out. from what you have just said. One, there are people who shake when they are angry. What do you call that kind of shaking? Could it be resetting something, restarting something? Like
absolutely.
They shake terribly out of anger. I mean, yes. In that moment of anger.
Absolutely.
Shake to such an extent that they're not able to communicate anything again. They just shake and go quiet, and they'll be calm afterwards and say nothing ever.
Absolutely, yes.
Wow.
It's wow. Because they're so overwhelmed. Their central nervous system has become so overwhelmed by whatever it is, anger, frustration, grief, whatever it is. They're so overwhelmed that their central nervous system starts to reset itself so it can then go back and be able to communicate.
And that is good.
Yes, we want that shaking.
Now, when you were talking about the science behind the yoga therapy, you mentioned something on witchcraft. You said, this is not witchcraft. This is, forgive me for bringing this one up. Because here am I, we thought witchcraft was reserved and only kept for the African community. Do you have white witchcraft? I'm sorry.
Do we have white witchcraft? You know, there's a lot of white ladies running around thinking they are. I'm not one of them. What I do is all science.
Yes.
And unfortunately, I live in a place that's incredibly conservative. And
okay.
I mean, I've been told that I do the work of the devil.
Sorry. Yes. You don't.
I don't. Ooh. I know that.
No, you don't. You don't. And there's Falun Gong. And I bring that because I see some similarities. Are there really some similarities? I'm just seeing my own thing. Falun Gong is also practiced something similar to yoga and yoga therapy. How is that different? Well, you've never heard of Falun Gong.
I'm sorry, could you re-say that? I was unable to hear you.
Okay, the Falun Gong, it's usually practiced around the world, but it's popular in China. There's a Falun Gong movement, and they do some of the things they do, they are similar to that of yoga. So I wanted to know, what could be the difference, or are there any similarities between the two?
You know, I don't know much about it. And so I can't really say.
Okay.
I wouldn't even venture a guess because I really don't know much about it. I know about what I do, but I don't know about that other method. So yeah, I'm going to refrain from answering. I don't know. That's
and
my
you
answer.
Have never heard of Falun Gong movement?
No.
Okay. So that means it's still coming up. Well, they do something similar to that of yoga. But again, let's leave that. I just brought that up because I'm just seeing similarities when it comes to healing, the healing part of it. They don't talk about restarting everything. They don't talk about resetting, but they talk about healing. Let's come back to yoga therapy. How is yoga therapy different from other modalities? That's why I bring in Falun Gong, which you don't know much about, but it's all right. What about others? Anissa?
Well, you know, I'm partial to yoga therapy. I like it. It works for me. However, there are some people who don't like yoga. If they're able to do the same thing science-wise by maybe running, kickboxing, martial arts, Krav Maga, whatever it is, then by all means, do what you feel is best for you. I know a lot of people say that, you know, yoga is very quiet and zen and silent, and still. And there are some people, especially with PTSD, that have a really hard time with that. My classes, again, are a little different. And, you know, they come in with a preconceived notion that, you know, it's going to be all zen and quiet and still. My classes are actually not like that. However, because there's this preconceived notion, you know, people have already kind of said, I don't want to do yoga. I know what that's all about. And it's just not going to work for me. However, if they, maybe they're a runner, maybe they like to hike or take walks, kickboxing, maybe regular boxing, martial arts, whatever it is, if they're able to help reset their central nervous system that way, then by all means, do it.
Yes. I mean,
do something.
Do something, really. Woo! Who you know, is yoga?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, please. No, you can finish your thought.
I was just going to say, you know, like the old Nike adage, just do it.
Just do it. I love it. Just do it, really. But who will yoga therapy help? And how long does it take to see results? Because many are about results. I mean, we are results-oriented. And we want to know, when are the results going to come?
Absolutely. Great question. And to that, I have no answer. It really depends on the person. It depends on how deep is their trauma? How long have they been dealing with it? What other things are they doing to help themselves? You know, for some people, it could be a couple of weeks. For some people, it could be years. So there is no way for me to be able to say, you know, after 10 classes, you're cured. No, I would be lying.
It's a lifetime, probably. Yes.
This is a marathon.
Yeah, and lifestyle related.
It really is. There's a lot of parts that go into this. And it's not just, you know, doing yoga. Do you have a talk therapist? Are you doing meds? What other things are you doing to help yourself on your healing journey? So there's not one particular thing. It's really about, this is part of your treatment plan to help reset your central nervous system. And who will it help? It'll help anybody. As long as you've got a heartbeat, you're pretty good to go.
Oh, I didn't see that one coming. Well, but you also focus mostly on women with sexual trauma issues.
I do. I am a 2-time rape survivor. And so I walk that walk every single day. I really get where they're coming from because I'm there. And I have been able to utilize yoga therapy to help me with my healing. And so obviously I'm a little biased again, but there's so many beautiful things that can happen on a mat. And I've seen women make major shifts and it's just so beautiful. And I love being able to see that.
Yeah. Wow. There are some women who have really experienced sexual trauma and they are unable to keep relationships or retain any relationship afterwards. Some who are married, they struggle in their marriages, especially when it comes to sexual matters and issues. How will such women be helped through, or how can such women receive help through yoga therapy? Or what would you say to such a woman who is listening now, Anissa?
Well, number one, you're not alone. Statistics say that 1 out of every 4 women have been sexually assaulted. We actually think it's 1 out of every 2 women. And we think it's that because of underreporting. And so, you know, when I was first raped, I was 18 and I did what everybody else does. I went to talk therapy. And what I found is over the years, I had to keep returning to talk therapy. And I didn't really feel any major closure. However, I then found my mat and I found yoga therapy. And with that, and again, going to talk therapy, utilizing the two of them together, I was really able to close the door on that. However, about 6.5 years ago, I was raped again. And this time I was a yoga therapist, and I, you know, I put my clinician hat on and I said, okay, what would I tell my client? And then I took that hat off and I was me and I said, all right, now I got to get to work. But I also looked at, you know, being 18 and even, you know, being this age now, what things would I need to really help me heal? And, you know, part of it was a community. And so not feeling so alone and so isolated, because it's not something that's fun to talk about. I mean, let's be real. Yeah. But also too, to just be around women. We don't need to talk about it. We all know why we're there. But just being together on the mats and moving and laughing and crying together. And again, being able to move on a mat in such a way that really helps to reset that central nervous system. It's amazing what a bunch of women together like that can do for one another.
Wow. Your own, it has happened twice. I'm really sorry about that. Really sorry that you had to go through that. I can't imagine it.
Thank
you. Do people ever heal? Do people ever heal? Do children ever heal from such kind of sexual trauma, attack, sexual violation? And what do you do, or what do you tell them? You said you combined, and I want to really stress this, you combined talk therapy, because that's what we hear most about, that go for talk therapy, talk about it, find someone to talk to. You combined talk therapy and yoga therapy to really close the door. And here you are.
I did. And in fact, I also included meds. You know, I'm on meds and there's nothing wrong with that. Again, it's about finding what works for you. What is the combination that works best for you? There is no tried or true method. Everyone is an individual. Your trauma is individual, and so should your healing journey. And so it's really about figuring out what works best for you. Can you heal? Yeah, you can heal. There's a difference between cure and heal. Cure means that whatever was ailing you goes away completely. And you could be cured of cancer. It can be eradicated from your body. You can, you know, be cured from a flu. It'll leave your body. However, that's different than healing. Healing doesn't mean that it didn't happen. It happened. Yes. However, it's not holding you back. You have risen above it. And so, yes, you can heal from these things.
Wow. We have more men. We have more men who listen to this show. What will you say to them, those who have probably girlfriends and wives who have been sexually violated and they don't know how to handle it? Here you are. They don't know how to deal with it. But you are married. And that's great. You are married. You have really moved forward with your life. What do you say to men? Because most of the time, I think the trickiest thing is not knowing what to say, how to deal with it in a relationship and in a marital setup. If you could talk to the men.
Sometimes it's not about saying anything. You know, men like to fix things. You know, if their wife or their partner, or their spouse, whatever, they have a problem, men want to fix it for them. They're fixers, and that's great. However, this isn't something that you can fix. This is something that women have to do on their own for themselves. However, how can you support? And that's different from fixing. How can you support? Sometimes it's just being there, not saying anything, being there to hold them. Maybe just making them their favorite cup of tea and just sitting with them. Sometimes it's not about saying, it's just about being there. Sometimes it's about listening. And you might hear the same thing over and over and over again. Maybe it's about saying, hey, maybe it's time to get into therapy, and suggesting that, helping them find a good therapist that's a good fit. Being patient, being kind, being compassionate. Whatever happened was not their fault. So please do not lay blame. Mm-hmm. And just being there, I think, is one of the really most beautiful things that we as humans can do for one another. Just being there.
Well, we also have a great deal of men who have been violated, sexually violated, by women who were older than them while they were yet young or in their teenage years. So it's a two-way street. What do you say to that kind of a man who has also experienced sexual violation by older women? Some men have come forward to say their very first sexual experience was with an older woman who violated them. So they were raped, but nobody ever believed that it could be so. Some even now live in that kind of an environment. Well, this has happened mostly in the African community. I don't know in other communities, but the cases I'm bringing forward are real cases, real people in the African community, where they have to be servicing the older women at home in the villages, while their husband, who is now the real man, is out somewhere working, and they only come back home once a month, right? Month end. So the man, the young man, is there to now service their wife, if you know what I mean, without really going into much detail. Anissa, what do you say to that man?
You know, I've spoken with several men who have been violated, whether it be from women, older women, other men. And what I can say is that, yes, it happens. And you are not alone. Just like the women, you are not alone. It is very difficult for both men or women to admit that someone took advantage, took their power away, had control over them. And obviously for men, it's almost such an embarrassment. And my heart aches for them because it's a horrible place to be. I get it. What I would say is get help, because you don't have to suffer alone. You don't have to suffer in silence. You are not the only one that this has happened to. And it just, you need to get the help so you can not only heal, but move on. Just like women, you need to heal and move on. So it's not plaguing you for the rest of your life. Again, you can heal, not necessarily cure, but heal. And if there's enough men who get together and there's enough of a community, then there's the potential that this kind of behavior will stop.
Let's come back to the classes, or the sessions rather, that you offer virtually. You only deal with women, and I understand that completely. Let's talk about them. these classes, these sessions, are the one-on-one sessions, or it is a class, a group of people? How much do they cost? And can men come? Or is there a place where you can recommend, where you can send men to while you help the women?
You know, that's a great question. So I do both one-on-ones and group. For the one-on-ones, I will see men. I am happy to see men on one-on-ones.
Okay.
My group classes are for women only. And in fact, I'm getting ready between now and the end of the year. I will actually be releasing a membership for women who, you know, are like me, sexually traumatized, and they'll be able to get recorded and live yoga therapy sessions, along with a community to tap into and some education, so they understand what's happening within their bodies. And I'm really excited about launching this. It's been a labor of love to put it together. However, for men, I do see them one-on-one. And, you know, I really enjoy working with men one-on-one. I had a lot of men that I worked with when I was working with veterans. And I've had great times, especially with the vets. They were hysterical. I had a great time. So, you know, I'm not opposed to working with men. However, most of my work is with women.
Okay, great stuff. So there's room for them as well. Let's talk about the cost. How much does it cost, and where can they find details about this? Where can they hear more about you or continue this conversation and learn more, Nisa?
Well, my website is traumahealingyoga.com. And if your listeners go there, there is a free body scan meditation for them. It really is wonderful. It helps with being able to relax and help you getting, you know, sleep and rest. And so that is there free for them to download. Okay. How much do the classes cost? My classes one-on-one is $75 an hour. Each session is an hour long. And then the membership that I'm going to be releasing will be starting at $97 a month.
And that will be for women only?
Yes.
Yes. Great stuff. Now, if you could just repeat that website again, the website address.
Sure. It's traumahealingyoga.com. And on social media, you can find me. I'm kind of like a bad penny. I just keep showing up under Trauma Healing Yoga.
Okay.
And, you know, Facebook, all of the, you know, regular places, LinkedIn, Pinterest. I am not groovy. I am not on Snapchat or TikTok.
Okay. Yes. You're only on these ones. Well, let's check it out. www.traumahealingyoga.com. You want to go and check this out. We're at the tail end, but look, this was a deep, heavy, but yet very necessary conversation.
MDN Talk Radio. The mic swings to you. At MDN Talk Radio, the conversation is upbeat with life-enhancing chats moderated by personalities that matter. Exclusive conversations to keep our radio community interactive is with you now. Log on from the comfort of your couch or take us along in your palm as you go. Hear us. The undeniable choice.